Blog Talk Radio.
And another good afternoon. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Wealth Builder. And I want to welcome all of you to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. This is an interview between Pride former Commissioner Cedric Thomas, Ann McNeil, Dan Calloway, and Steve White. Today we are talking about and talking with individuals from Riviera Beach, sharing our hashtag I Am Riviera Beach story. We want to welcome all of our callers. We want to welcome our listeners, those of you who may be listening in the future, because this program is evergreen, and we will be sharing it on all the social media outlets. I'd like to also just let everybody know that Earl Nightingale said that everything begins with an idea. And this idea to create this show is also founded on the principles in the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Cornwell. And he says basically that your diamond mine is in your own hometown, your own backyard, and oftentimes that's found within each and every one of us, which explains and describes who we are, why we are, where we are in life. And with that, I'd like to introduce all of you to my co-hosts, Dan Calloway and Steve White, as we introduce our guests. Dan?
Good afternoon. This is a lovely day in South Florida, and we are just pleased to have Cedric Thomas, one of the best council person we have ever had in Riviera. And one day I told him years ago he'll end up in Tallahassee and we'll lose him to Washington, D.C., because he has that ability. And, of course, I want everybody to know he's a former and sometimes still working in the police department. Welcome, Cedric.
Thank you, Mr. Calloway. I'm glad to be here with Mr. White and Ms. McNeil and yourself. It is indeed a pleasure to be able to discuss issues in my hometown of Riviera Beach. So thank you for having me.
Well, one of the things we need to start off with, why did you go and throw your name in the hat years ago to get into the political arena?
Well, Ms. Calloway, I was a young police officer. I had an opportunity coming out of the police academy to work for the town of Palm Beach, the city of Belgrade, and the city of Riviera Beach. And although the town of Palm Beach paid the most at that time, I believe we were starting off with somewhere around $28,000 when I first started a year, and Palm Beach was paying $39,000. And in the early 2000s, I was thinking that, hey, that was a great idea to be able to do that. But I realized that our wages were lagging behind a lot of the surrounding communities. As a police officer, I ultimately chose to become a police officer in Riviera Beach because it was my hometown, and I realized that our wages were lagging behind, and I never could understand why. So I started watching the city council meetings and watching what they were doing and watching how they were divvying up the money, and I said, okay, I understand now why our wages were lagging, and then I decided to get involved off of that particular issue. Then I understood how I could affect more change with our roads and with our dollars that come in and with our millage rates and how our homes are valued and so on and so forth. So that was the start of it, of me wanting to become an elected official in Riviera Beach.
Well, with your tenure, we gained a lot of publicity. One was good, and we also developed certain areas. Now, when you went further to be a commissioner, Palm Beach County Commissioner, one of the seven, and a lot of us didn't want you to leave Riviera. Now,
yes, sir.
With the seven council and the mayor right now, and just go back maybe 10, 15 years ago, when you and that group was doing this, that, and the other, what is the difference now that you see that you did back then and was successful, and maybe you can convey that to the council and the mayor right now to help out, or vice versa. Do you think that they're more advanced than you all were back there then?
I don't, and that's not to say anything negative about the sitting council members, because it's a tough job for everybody, and every group has their own ideas. I don't think that they're as advanced as we were at the time. One of the things I did when I first got in is I started studying all of the councils before us. They had some affectionately known councils such as the Fat Boys and other individuals. Then what I did is I went and talked to the late, great Miss Elizabeth Wade about some of those things, who I actually replaced. And what I would do is still continue to be involved in the community with our leaders, the Dan Calloways of the world, the Don Wilsons, the Herman McCrays, the Bucky McGann, you know, all of those individuals who some have gone in transition now. But I was able to get the history of what was happening. So when I was making a decision, I knew what happened before, I knew what was happening at the present, and I knew what vision that I had for our city moving forward. So the advancement that we were able to do, and the advancement of the buildings coming up and the roads coming, and the new projects that happened, it was because we didn't try to not, fulfill the ideals of the councils before us. And it has to have some synergistic alignment and continuity when you're moving forward. This particular council, although I believe all of those individuals up there are talented in their own right, I don't believe that they have the continuity and the synergistic alignment that they need to move to the next level. And when you have that particular narrative that's going on now, it doesn't allow for, transition or movement. So I believe that our group was a little bit more advanced, only because we took the time to, learn the history of what was going on inside of the city.
That's a great answer. What about the education component that the city is involved with, and there's a petition out right now that the council going to have to get involved with, along with the school board and whatever, about building a new high school in Riviera on the old site of old Suncoast, which is right now Inlet Grove?
This is a topic that has always been something that has touched me greatly for a couple of reasons. The first reason is Suncoast was our, high school. Suncoast, where I attended, where, my wife attended, my daughter attended. I mean, it was not, when we attended those Suncoast in those years, it was already a magnet school. However, we still had the traditions of old, the traditions that brought everybody together, traditions where it was standing room only for the athletic activities and the band, and the chorus, and the home ec, and all of those things that still connected us with the city. Once it became a magnet school, I had no issue with that. But once you remove our school, then you should replace it. And I know that there was a long debate on where it should be and how it should be. But once the decision was finally made to do it, I stood with that decision. I was happy about that decision, and I was happy when they started the plans for that new school where the current Inlet Grove is. And I'm not as happy now because they essentially have taken it out of the capital budget. But in the process of taking out a capital budget, they have acquired, the homes and the churches that were, in that area. And it's just sitting there. So I believe that we need our own school. I would support our own school being there. I'm signing the petition, and I'm hoping everybody else will, to get our own school there, because that is what's needed. When you have a community school where your children can go, where they don't have to get up 2 or 3 hours earlier to catch a train or a bus outside of the area, they can get more sleep, where the parents will be more apt to come and be more a part of their education life, you know, on those campuses when they're close. You know, when you have parents working one or two jobs to try to make ends meet, and then they have to drive 5 or 10 miles, you know, away to try to make an event, most likely that event is not going to be able to be, you know, participated in by the parents. So I do believe that we need our own school. I hope the council gets involved. I had an opportunity to be an education liaison when I was on the council to the school board, and at that particular time, the school board worked well with us. And I must say, our representative at that time, who was Deborah Robinson, she made sure that we had open dialogue. We talked just about every week during my tenure to make sure that we had some continuity there. And that's how we were able to get the direct access from John F. Kennedy to Suncoast, and all of those other issues that were surrounding, you know, not being able to directly go to that school. So, yes, I do think that we need a high school there. I'm praying that we get it, and I want to put some action behind that in the community to make sure that we notify the leaders of our Palm Beach School District, who just got, I think, 2 more bonds that in those bonds of their capital projects, that the Riviera Beach High School be one of those said projects.
Well put. One of the most important questions I can ask you, and I need our listening audience to get a earful of this here. You stated earlier that the makeup of your council, worked with you for all those years, was more open to handle the public or listen to the public and be there, because we have had a lot of cookouts, picnics at Goodmark Park, Cunningham Park, Wells, the Callaway Complex, down on Fifth Street. We used to call it George Street, but it's the Richard Brooks Center now. How do you get all this information, how to make decisions, how to run a city, if you don't talk to the community, the people, the voters who put you in there to be their voice? I don't think personally in the last few years that our council has gone out and listened to the public. See, the public not going to come to the council meeting every other week. They'd rather for you to come out into their neighborhood and you'll get a better view of what they're trying to tell you. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, Mr. Callaway, my thoughts about that is, you know, the government is for the people, by the people. And the thing that I always knew when I got in, because I listened, was that, you know, the people are the power, not the people that are in power, but the people, you know, the power of the people, which is what's more important. So that meant that I needed to listen. That community center that was a vision of mine that's built over there off the 4th, came because Ms. Dawson and Ms. Matthews and, you know, that whole group of those concerned mothers had been doing for about 14 or 15 years, sitting in the park dealing with students every Thursday night. And, I was saying, hey, look, I never knew that you all were doing this. And what they were asking for is just, can you get us a bathroom just in the park? We just need a bathroom in the park so the kids can do that. And what I said was, wait a minute, hold on, Ms. Dawson, you've been here for 50-plus years, and Ms. Matthews, you know, you all have been taxpayers, you all have loved this city, and when you could have chosen to be anywhere else, you chose to be here. We need to do more than the bathroom. So that vision came about, and I worked with them over a period of about 12 months to get plans to get that, you know, community center built in their neighborhood. Those things are important, and when you listen to what the community needs, then those things can happen. You cannot be an effective commissioner or council person if you're not willing to give the people what they want. They elect you as their representative so that you give them what they want. It's not about what you want. You're a representative for them. So when you have that mindset and you understand that you're occupying this seat for the length of time that the citizens want you to occupy that seat, and when they're drawing that arrow or coloring that bubble for your name to be their representative, they're looking for you to bring back to them the information. They're looking for you to break it down so that they understand it and not, you know, talk over individuals' head or not say things that people don't quite understand. They want to feel like you're running the city the way they want you to run the city. So, you know, for me, you cannot be effective if you don't listen to the people. And if you don't listen to the people, you're going to see the erosion start of the trust that they will have for you, which eventually is going to break down the government and not be ran as effective and as efficiently as it needs to be.
Well, that's well said again. Cedric, for years, the youth recreation came to you, like from Thanksgiving, and you were one of the people that supplied us 100 or more turkeys. Every year, we could depend on you when you were in the council. Now, there was only one other person that would be that kind of person helping out when we had to help. And that was Bruce Guyton. We had him on last week or week before last.
Yes, sir.
Explain to the listening audience why it's important to use your status as an elected official to make sure all the business people, all the people who can afford, from whether it comes from the Urban League or the United Way, it doesn't matter where it comes from, to help out in this day and time because of the pandemic. And you know we fed over 6,000 people, and we had an angel, and I'll tell them to you about that angel again, who helped us through. Now, you were in a meeting the other day, and we were talking about feeding 2,000 kids ice cream and cake and hot dogs. We've been doing that for 20 years. With at least 6 elementary schools, Washington, Lincoln, Bethune, R.J. Henley, West Riviera, and 2 more schools. On the 19th, the day after they get out of school, we're going to have that. And all they have to come at 3 different sites, one at Lindsay Davis Senior Citizen, a building right there on 28th Street, and, of course, at the Callaway Complex and over there at Wells. They're not going to be congregating all over each other. They just come up, whether with the parents or whomever, get their Christmas present and go on back home. Now, what will you tell the audience about your involvement in the elected officials now and coming after anybody should be doing to help out, especially in this time with the pandemic?
In this time, you know, in the pandemic where we've lost jobs and homes and family members, it's more important that the elected officials make sure that they are operating on that side of public servant to help with those initiatives. Those initiatives such as the Youth Recreation Association, you know, and MAMA and Concerned Mothers and all of these entities that help like that, you know, they're special, right? You know, I tell this story a lot that the first time that I ever saw a golf club or a golf ball was at Tate Recreation Center when Mr. Callaway himself came. I was 12 years old. I'll never forget it. And he hit the ball so far. I didn't know what golf was. I didn't know that that even existed. But he hit the ball so far. And I remember saying, "Hey, sir, well, how far did you just hit that ball?" And I remember Mr. Callaway looking down at me and saying, "Yeah, it went about 150 yards. I should have been able to hit it a little further." And I was just amazed at how far that a ball could be hit with a stick like that, you know, that distance. And the exposure of golf at such an early age at 12, you know, gave me the love and gave me the understanding of, you know, just something outside of what I was seeing, which was basketball, baseball, and football, you know. And had you not taken the time to do that type of stuff, then we would have just never, you know, experienced it. Moving on to Mr. Wilkins, who, you know, had a group of basketball players that he took and let us all sit in the Palm Beach County Chambers, where I didn't know what went on there at 14 years old. I never understood what, you know, what was going on there. And little did I know that some 25 years later, almost, I would be sitting in a chair, you know, at our own, you know, city council. Those things, you know, those groups, the youth recreation associations, the mamas, the mentors, all the people that come in and expose you to different things, those set the trajectory of your life. So those are important, right? You know, now I'm not a good golf player today, even though I was exposed to it 35 years ago or 40 years ago. But I do understand the significance of it. And now we have, you know, golf pros that are coming right out of this very, you know, county, you know. So those groups are important, right? Those groups are important. Those groups, you know, are not just welcome, but they're needed to influence the next generation. And in this pandemic where students are basically going to school on a computer every day, they need those type of things and different innovative ideas to still get exposure, you know, outside of that laptop or that desktop computer. So, you know, it's very important. I'll always be involved with those type of things when they aid to the enrichment of our youth, especially at an early age. So commissioners and council individuals should always find a way to include, as a budgetary practice, that we fund those type of things that's going to keep, you know, it going. The city as a whole cannot do everything, right? And the city as a whole needs to learn how to have public-private partnerships with our community. There's people right here in our community that can do those things, and it needs to be, you know, a funding mechanism to help those things go. So I would always support those things, and I'm urging our city elected officials, county, state, and local, to do the same.
Well, on that note, the educational director, who's over our tutorial program, is also on this line, and he's one of the co-hosts, Mr. Steve White.
I'm here.
Him and two other teachers. Steve, the question I need to ask, and you the one is in charge, but Cedric, you said the business people and everybody in the city should be engaged in what we are doing with Mr. White right now, teaching all those kids. Because if we allow them to fall behind because they can't be on campus, and they need that, that's why he has a reading instructor, a math teacher, and himself. Steve, would you say what do you need and you think that we should be doing? And that was a young lady gave us the first amount of money for for 6 weeks. We got 6 weeks, and she gave $7,600, and we are spending on that now. That's Ms. Ann Neal, McNeil.
Okay, Ms. Calloway, thank you, and Cedric, welcome. As
thank you.
You can see, I know when to be a good listener too, Cedric. You see that, right?
Yes, sir.
So,
I do. I see.
But that's a good segue that Mr. Calloway just gave me, and so we're vibing on the same thing, because I want to just expand on that a little bit. So, right, we do have an after-school tutorial program that I administer over at Kennedy. We're utilizing certified teachers from Kennedy and a few from another school to actually offer reading and mathematics as the core subjects, because you know that reading and math are the core topics that our children need as that foundation if they're going to be successful in life, period. So to broaden that out, let me ask you this, because this is what I wanted to ask you anyway. Being that you have been on both sides as an elected official and also on the other side, I think that one of the things is that perhaps in Riviera Beach we talk so much about the potential that this city has. And I think maybe the reason why we have not realized our potential is maybe the people, the residents of the city, have looked too much for city government, for the government, for our elected officials to do for us what we need to be doing for ourselves. And so to tie that into the educational program, one of the challenges that we have with this after-school program is getting the students to take advantage of this great opportunity to enhance their reading and mathematics skills. And one of the reasons why the students aren't taking advantage of it is because they're not being pushed enough by their parents to take advantage of these educational opportunities. So instead of us relying so much on for the city's government or for the elected officials to move us forward, I think it's all about personal development and personal responsibility. So I wanted to know if you could speak to that. For instance, you know, what is it that parents should be doing? What is it that students should be doing to move themselves forward and to move this city forward, as opposed to sitting back and thinking that the city's elected officials are going to move us forward, as opposed to us taking these initiatives to move ourselves forward? So maybe you can speak to that. And like I said, one good example of it is the fact that we are challenged every day with this program to get the students involved. And again, like I said, I think that falls on the shoulders of both the students and the parents. So maybe you can speak to that in a specific way, or even in a, you know, more broad fashion.
Mr. White, I've known about the great work that you've been doing for quite some time with the Boys to Men program, and, you know, all of the other things that you were doing to enrich our community, you know, just with knowledge. It is vital that parents get involved. That's a tough, you know, thing to say, and it's even tougher to see it have done. I've seen where, you know, organizations have tried to feed people to get them there. I've seen them try to give away prizes to get them there. Well, the problem is simple. In today's time, parents are trying to give kids so much of what they didn't have growing up that they're forgetting to give them what they did get growing up. And that's just simple parenting. Hey, you're going to do this not because you want to, or not because you feel like you're going to do it, because I'm the parent and I say that this is what's in your best interest and this is what has to happen. Those things have to become more important. Those things have to become a priority for our youth. Case in point, the school district and the community leaders, and when I'm speaking of community leaders, I'm not just speaking of council members and those are the people who get the glitz and glory, but I'm talking about the people who grind and get into the nitty-gritty of things and fight each day with whether it's one student, 20 students, or 100 students, such as yourself, Mr. White. Those individuals that need to continue to be synergistic, and I use that word quite a bit because it's so important, synergistically aligned to make sure that we're using all of our talents to make sure that the parents know that they have options. Sometimes the parents just are scared and really just don't know different things, you know, about it. Speaking with the individual last night, and we were talking about, you know, his daughter. And, you know, my daughter is a senior at FAMU now, and I was just telling them all of these things as they go through different transitions and what, you know, I'm experiencing and what he should look out for and so on and so forth. And he was saying, well, I think I'm just going to buy her a car. I say, well, does she have a driver's license? He says, well, no. I said, well, why would you buy her a car if she doesn't have a driver's license? Why don't you teach her how to drive first, get her a license, and make sure that she's ready for the car that you're going to give her? He said, well, I mean, you know, everybody's ready. I said, well, can you ask her where the blinker is on the automobile? And she could not describe it. It was at that point where he said, wait a minute, hold on. Maybe she's really not ready for a car. And so many things happened, you know, that the parents feel like we should spend, you know, $500 or $600 on Xbox or PlayStation because that's what they think are going to make the kids happy at that time. And it may, but the newness of those game consoles will soon wear off and they will still be left without substance that they can do. Like, most kids don't know cursive writing. I was shocked to find that. And then I found that they don't teach it, you know, anymore. It does not mean that the parents or people in the industry you know, don't need to still teach that skill, but they say, hey, we're in an information age and digital. Nobody uses cursive writing, but it was more than just, you know, the cursive writing. It was also penmanship. It was also punctuation. It was a lot of things that were being, you know, learned. So when we are going and trying to enrich the youth, we also need to make sure that we're enriching and educating the parents as well, because a lot of them don't really understand. You know, parenting doesn't come with a manual, and it's not to say that, you know, you're parenting wrong or someone else is parenting wrong, but I tell you, that old adage that they said takes a village to raise a child sure did work during my day, and I think it would continue to work during these days. So we just need more individuals that are willing to get in there and grind. Like I saw Mr. Calloway at the school one day. I saw you, you know, that you're being there, and men and women of the community going there, volunteering, making sure that they have somebody that they can go to, you know, when they just need help, or maybe even, you know, someone to talk to. So those community giants that we have, and those community workers, and those community leaders, and those, you know, community individuals who just take the time to say, hey, young man, you're going the wrong way, the same way that they did when I was coming up. I think if we resort back to those type of things, grab their hands, let them know that these options are there, let them know why they need to do these type of things, let them know that it's all good to get them an Xbox, but you also want to make sure that they have something of substance inside of their head, other than those video games. And I think once we get back to those type of teachings and those type of understanding and renewing the respect that we have for individuals such as yourself, that we'll be able to go to that next level where we really need to be.
Well, and I agree with you. I think we've just got to get parents more involved and understand the consequences of not being involved, so that we can move back to that village concept. So I agree with that.
That's wonderful.
All right,
well,
this
Cedric, go ahead, Ann.
No, I was just going to prepare to wrap up because time has escaped us, and I was still waiting to ask my question. I'll have to have you come back, Cedric Thomas, on behalf of all of us, so we can hear the rest of your story, sir.
I do not mind.
I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I'm shocked that 30 minutes is over that quickly. And I have really enjoyed myself. It is something that's needed. Our diamonds are right here where we live, such as yourself.
Absolutely.
Being one of the first African-American contractors that have come out, and you're still giving back years and years later. We need to, you know, reward our youth with the knowledge of individuals such as yourself, where these fields are not just gender based, you know, or have gender roles in them. They can get outside of the box that shouldn't be there anyway and do some of the same things. So I'm excited. Whenever you all want me to come back, I'm more than willing to come back, and I love the fact that you're doing this. And for the current listeners and the listeners that will be listening in the future, these are the things and these are the talks that we need to have in order to make the history, in order to make our city better, in order to make our future better. And I'm just glad that I have had an opportunity to be a part of it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to be reaching back to you because what we're doing here is we're creating a platform to highlight individuals from the city, all walks of life, all states, no matter where they are in the world. And so if you would start going through your Rolodex and anybody you think that we should highlight, and I want to thank Deborah, my classmate, for joining in. I see you logged in, Deborah. Thank you so very kindly. Our classmates from, you know, Riviera Beach, we ended up graduating from three different high schools, even though we started together at one elementary school and then junior high, and then just kind of got separated. But we have so much history to share. And so what we'd like to do is make this a community platform where people like yourself are able to come and share your story. because if we don't share our story with the young and have the older individuals from Riviera Beach share their story, we tend to lose our history. And we know that in Dan Calloway and a lot of individuals like him, if we don't get inside his head and his Rolodex, God could take any one of us first, but we really want to give, create an opportunity and a platform and a space to share not the fact that we have one of the most beautiful cities in the world, but I also do believe that we have the sharpest, most brilliant diamonds in the world right in our city. And so with that, we're going to have you, Dan, and then Steve, share your closing remarks, and then Mr. Thomas, if you come back and share your closing remarks. Thank you.
My closing remark is very simple, that we are appreciative of all the people who helped us out through Thanksgiving, and we are appreciative of the group that is going to carry us through Christmas. And then we're going to have some outstanding participants in the weeks that are coming up. So I'm finished, Steve.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Well, what I'd just like to say is that I am a mentor and have been for many, many years, and I always teach the young men in my mentoring program that knowledge is not power until you use it. And so what I would say is that to the people that are listening, you know, for the last few weeks we've been sharing some information and sharing some knowledge, but it's like what do we do with it? You know, it's imperative that we take whatever information that we get from hearing Mr. Thomas or the police chief or anyone else that's been on the show, that we take that information and transform it into action so that it makes a difference in our lives individually or personally, and then make a difference in the lives of the people of this community. Because if we don't do that, then literally it's just entertainment. And so it's imperative that we really just take advantage of this information that's being shared and use it to make a positive difference.
Thank you.
All right. And? Yes. Now, Cedric.
Okay. Once again, I just would like to thank, you know, the three hosts here, Mr. Neal, Mr. Calloway, and Mr. White. For having me. I have really enjoyed myself. I will continue to be a part of the listening audience of this, and I reach out and I urge individuals to, you know, support this broadcast, support the initiatives that are going on in this city and around this county. And all I want to say is I appreciate the long history that Mr. Calloway has, that he gives to us, and I'm hoping that we can continue to pass it down throughout generations. So thank you. I appreciate everybody for having me, and I look forward to coming on again. But until then, I'll be a part of your listening audience.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, everybody. We want to thank everybody for joining in. And please comment, like, and share the show. All of our listeners, thank you also. And for those of you who will be listening in the future, please continue to join us. And if you want to reach Dan Calloway, you can reach him at 561-831. Sorry about that. I'm sorry. 561-848-4991. You can also reach Mr. Cedric Thomas at 561-253-5775. And Steve White, if you want to go ahead and give us your number,
it's 561-758-3008. That's fine.
Okay, perfect.
Beautiful.
I'm looking at it right here on the studio. And then this is Ann McNeil. You can you can text me at 55678. Text me at 55678, and just put in the comment section the word Ann. And with that, we're going to thank everybody you have been listening to. Hashtag I am Riviera Beach. And this has been an interview where Dan Calloway, Steve White, and Ann McNeil have interviewed Cedric Thomas, who's a former City of Riviera Beach councilman and now a bondsman. So we'll have to come back and talk about that other part of your life, too. And with that, we want to thank everybody for listening. And yes, thank you. And we'll see everybody next Sunday. We're here every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also dial 661 to listen in. You can dial 661-554-9219, 661-554-9219 to listen into the show. All right, thank you. Everybody have a good evening. Good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.